Welcome to the Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
So if you can turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may be grown up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone, who was rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, 'See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame.' Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. It also says, 'A stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you shall silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves, show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor." I'm going to end it there. Guys, wow, there's so much in there. So in the last few weeks, we've been focusing on what it means to be part of this holy priesthood. Yet we are called to be priests in his glorious kingdom. And I thought it might be nice that when we think of the word priest, that we could use it as an acronym to remind us what it means to be a priest. It's quite funny. Then last week, Brad shares tithe as an acronym. So you're getting two acronyms in a row. So the order of it is not by order of importance. I'm just taking the letters, okay? So first is P, right? I hope I spell it right. P is for power. Let's quickly turn to Luke 24, verse 36 to 50. Luke 24, verses 36. Jesus appears to the disciples. "While we were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands and look at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, 'Do you have anything here to eat?' They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, 'This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms.' Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, 'This is what is written. the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high. Guys, do you know what you carry? Jesus said, it is better that I go. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. With a revelation and an understanding of the gospel and an infilling of the Holy Spirit, you are unstoppable. You are history makers. You mountain movers. Come on, we spoke about, there was a song that had mountains. We're talking about mountains. You guys carry something that make you mountain movers. You nation changers. The gospel is a powerful thing. Here, we see Jesus appearing to his closest friends, appearing to his disciples. And even in their disbelief, Jesus proclaims the gospel to them. Today, I want you guys to know that Jesus Christ has paid the price for you. Your debt has been settled. The price was paid 2,000 years ago on a cross. You are forgiven. If it doesn't matter, I tell you, it doesn't matter what you did. If it did, I promise you, I wouldn't be able to stand here in front of you today. There's no one else in the world. There's no one else in the history of the world that did what Jesus Christ did for you. He left his throne. He humbled himself to become a man. And he lived a perfect life. But then he sacrificed that life. He took it and he sacrificed it for us so that we can live a life of eternity. But this man, he revealed himself fully when he rose from the dead. It didn't end there. He rose from the dead. That is why we remember the empty cross. The cross in all of its punishment and heartache could not keep the Son of Man from rising. The grave couldn't hold him. Death lost its grip on him. He's risen. Isn't that amazing? We stand today in awe of him. And the sacrificial love of God the Father who sent his one and only Son. What a God we serve. What a God. So looking at the scripture, Jesus' instructions to the disciples was to wait in Jerusalem and expect power. Jesus knows what is to come. And that is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, which empowers them to serve him. But I tell you guys, we too have this power today. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10 to 14 says, these are the things God has revealed to us by the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. Explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes where we cannot go. He comprehends things that we cannot. He does things that we cannot. But when it comes to the things that we need, he equips us to do them. Isn't that amazing? Understand what you carry. It will make a huge difference in being a priesthood that functions appropriately. The R is for relationship. Relationship is vital if you're going to be a priest in the kingdom. When your relationship is strong, your identity can be found in him. In 1 Peter 2, we read, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Understand that your identity is in him, and his identity is also present in you. Allow me to give you a brief picture of what it means and the importance of having your identity in Christ. You all know the jacaranda tree, right? Okay. That beautiful purple flower tree. If I think jacaranda tree, I think Pretoria. Thank you. I'm not the only one, eh? Good. Okay, and if you think Pretoria, you think jacaranda tree. If you don't, go look at Tim Nicholas. He just took some photos and he called it Pretoria, but it's all jacaranda trees. Did you know that the jacaranda tree is actually an alien plant in this country? So what you have is an alien plant that has become so overgrown in a region or in a city that that city is now identified by the alien plant. The same happens in our lives, guys. We get to a stage where sin, which is alien to who we are and what we were designed for, starts to grow deep roots in our lives to the point where it takes over our lives and we find ourselves being identified with that sin. Oh, you're a druggie or you're an alkie or whatever the case may be. We find that our identity is in sin rather than us having a stronghold over it and saying that we have the power to uproot it. But Jesus came to uproot. He came to destroy and he came to remove that from our lives so that we are no longer characterized by the overgrown alien but are characterized by a God who loved us so much that he gave his one and only son to take that stuff and uproot it and throw it away. I is for intimacy. Moving on from relationship, it actually needs to go deeper. It needs to be more than that. We see John who places his head on Jesus' chest and hears his heartbeat. That's how close he was to the Messiah. But this relationship and intimacy with Jesus was placed in the scripture so that we too can know that we can also have that kind of intimacy with Jesus. That kind of intimacy with God. I experienced this recently. I was putting Reed to bed and he was quite restless. Most of the time it takes, you know, a decent amount of time in the evening to put him to bed. And this night I was lying in the bed with him. I had a pillow underneath me and he was rolling around and he was restless and he just was fighting sleep. And after about 20 minutes, he was facing away from me. And after 20 minutes, he kind of rolled over and rested his head on my arm. And it took him 2 minutes to fall asleep. Sorry. When we place our heads in the loving arms of the Father, we find rest. We find a place that gives us absolute peace that he is in control. We can rest in the knowledge that he is king of it all. And what happened after that? I just chilled there a bit, just holding him, embracing him. And I just started hearing this buzzing noise. And there were about 10 mosquitoes that came. And they were flying around and eventually just landed on my arms. And none of them landed on him. And I felt the Lord say, if you are intimate with me, if you have a strong relationship with me, I'll protect you from the evil. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that a beautiful picture? Guys, have kids, man. Teaches you about the Father. It's lovely. Woo! Okay. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wow, he's ministering to me right here. It's lovely. Okay, E is for evangelism. The Great Commission. Relationship, that's knowing Jesus Christ. Evangelizing is making him known. How many of you have read Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy of Jesus? Yeah? How many of you were bored? Is it just me? Guys, sheesh, that thing. This one begot this one, begot this one, and this one begot this one, who begot this one. I tell you, at the beginning of the year, I started my Bible reading plan again, and the first thing you start with is Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy of Jesus. And I read through it and kind of went through the motions. Kind of, I've got the gist of this, so I'm just going to read it. And I got to the end of it and I thought, but Lord, you put everything that is in Scripture, you breathed out. You put it there for a reason. I said, Lord, I'm not going to move on from this thing until you reveal something new to me. And I felt the Lord show me this. You know, we live in the 21st century. And even today, if you go and you try and study your family ancestry and look at your bloodline, it's even difficult today in the society that we, in the world that we live in with all the technology. Can you imagine how difficult it must have been for Matthew to go and study the history of Jesus? To study even when he was born, the walk that his parents had when he was a child. I mean, that must have taken months, if not years, to do. But here, we see a man who has been told by Scripture to beware of false prophets. Right? So, when he's asked to follow Jesus, he goes and he studies Jesus and Jesus' genealogy and Jesus' walk from when he was a young boy, mapping his ancestry and his life to see for himself whether this indeed is the Messiah that has been spoken of in the Old Testament. Whether indeed he is the Son of God. This is knowing Christ. Now I tell you, you can look at the Old Testament, and in Micah 5 verse 2 it says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come from me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times." That's talking about Jesus. So here we see, okay, here's someone talking about Jesus coming from Bethlehem. But then in Hosea 11 verse 1, it says, "God's love for Israel. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." Now, isn't that a bit confusing? I don't know, maybe it's just me. But I would be like, okay, Lord, which one is it? Is it Bethlehem or is it Egypt? But here, you see Matthew study him so much and to the point where he realizes that it's true, both are true for Jesus. Thus confirming his being the Son of God, that he is the Messiah. This is knowing Jesus Christ. But Matthew goes a step further. I think he sat there and he was like, okay, Lord, so I've done this for, I don't know, a good couple of months, maybe even years. And he says, hey, Lord Jesus, this was my giant. This was my thing that I had to overcome. I don't want others to now have to go through this and spend months, if not years, studying the same thing just so that they can come to the same revelation that I've had. So what does he do? He writes a book. And in that book, he starts by explaining the things that he has spent a year studying, spent time on, coming to know Jesus Christ. So he kills his giant so that we no longer have to. We know from the first thing we come to in the New Testament, we know that the person who is going to be spoken of in the Gospels is, in fact, the Son of God, is the Christ who is sent by God. Isn't that amazing? This is knowing, this is Christ through us. This is making Jesus Christ known. In order for us, we need to learn from Matthew. Because in order for us to be a relevant and meaningful priesthood, we need to slay our dragons. Our dragons. So I said that last night, and Trace was like, don't say dragons. We need to slay our giants. Sorry, that's not biblical at all. Giants are biblical. Dragons, not so much. So we need to slay our giants. We need to share the gospel in our own way. And we need to show the world the Messiah, the one who takes away the sin of the world. S is for sacrifice, but it's also for submission. Submission is a sacrifice. Jesus laid down his life so that you and I could walk in absolute freedom. But that freedom doesn't come without us having some input from our side. Jesus asked us to lay down our lives to walk in his ways. It's not easy, guys. He's calling us to something higher. This is sacrificial for us, but it only feels like a sacrifice because in my case, it was probably 20 years. In your case, it might have been a bit less. But for us to change what we have done for so long in a worldly way, to move from that and change always feels more difficult. But to move from what we have taught ourselves to do in the 20 years BC, before our Christ days, to the way that Christ has actually designed it is difficult. It's a sacrifice. But that's what we've been called to do. Submission is a kingdom concept that isn't easy. It's something that the world teaches us is not necessary. And I was, Chase went out, and I was home alone, and I was Googling something. And out of the corner of my eye, at the bottom of my screen, I saw that there was a private button. And I was like, oh, I've actually never noticed that. Let me click on it. So I clicked on it, and this is what it said. It said, browser, it used its name, but browser won't remember the pages you visited, your search history, or your autofill information. Guys, do you know that another way of looking at submission is that it's simply extra eyes on the things that you're doing. So this, here, we see that the world gives us options to make things unavailable to other eyes. But we learn that submitting our lives and things is important in the kingdom of God. If we look at Ephesians 5, verse 21, it says, submit yourselves one to another out of reverence for Christ. I'm sure we all have heard this verse before, but let's look at a bit of context. So let's start at verse 15. So Ephesians 5, verse 15, it says, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submit yourselves one to another out of reverence for Christ. I love that. Do not get drunk on wine. This speaks of things that you are struggling with, things that have a hold on you. I can tell you right now, by submitting these areas that you're struggling with, you are able to take hold of it. You are able to take it and hold on to them. Take hold of them instead of them taking hold of you by submitting. And I love how it says, out of reverence for Christ. Doesn't that give you a whole new outlook on submission? Huh? If submitting is done out of reverence for Christ, reading this passage just makes me want to do it. I just want to lay down my life and just submit it all. Here I am, Lord, take me. It's a sacrifice to submit things, to submit our finances, to submit our web browsers. It's a sacrifice. It's the road less traveled. It's the narrow path. But guys, it leads to life. I want to encourage you to submit your lives to someone, to a believer. I love it. Brad sometimes says, I've heard him say this a few times when talking about submission. He says, you know what? for example, in business. I might not be a businessman, but I can hear the Lord for your business. I might not be an expert on something, or the person that you're taking this thing to might not be an expert in that, but they can hear the Lord for your situation. So submit stuff. I really encourage it. I've seen great fruit in my life after submitting stuff. The Lord showed me two areas that I just want to highlight. And the first was my marriage. Last year I told Trace that I really wanted an Apple Watch. You know, my insurance company was having this promotion where you get a watch and you just have to achieve your goals and your watch is paid for. It's free. If you don't achieve your goals, then you pay a monthly fee. So one day I chatted to her, but we hadn't made a decision yet. So I was like a little bit sly, a little bit cunning, and I decided one day that no, now was the time. I really wanted it. So I went to the store and I got it. But what I didn't tell her was that the one that the store offers is small. It's a 38 millimeter. And the one that I wanted was the bigger one, the 42 millimeter. So I simply just paid 1,000 rand to have it upgraded. And then there was the service fee that I had to pay on top of that. So what Trace thought was going to be free ended up costing me a good couple of grand. Okay? I wore that watch three months. And one day I was putting it on, I was standing outside and I was putting it on and it fell. And it landed on the ground. On the screen, boom, done. 42 millimeters down the drain. They quoted me about 4,500 rand to fix it. So to this day, it's like almost the price of the watch. So to this day, I can't wear it. Now, I'm sitting with a situation where I struggle to pay, I struggle to reach my goals because I need the heart rate monitor to do that. And so now, I'm even on top of what I had to pay, I'm now paying monthly fees because I have to pay the thing off. Okay? So you know what happens? You know what I see in this whole situation, guys? I see that the decisions that you make outside of covenant affect what is inside of covenant. The decisions that you make outside of covenant affect what is inside of covenant. When you are in sin, you are performing something that is outside of your covenant with Jesus Christ. I can promise you that you will either feel ashamed and pull away, or the Holy Spirit, and I'm not saying He leaves you, I'm just saying that He can lift. He can lift off you, and you can not feel His presence. I don't want to be in that situation. Sin is something that is outside of covenant, and it affects your relationship with Christ, which is inside of covenant. If I had submitted my decisions to Trace, I might not be in the situation that I'm currently in. The second area is leadership. Hebrews 13, verse 17, it says, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that would be of no advantage to you." God has revealed a few things with regards to eldership to me, which relates to submission. So I just want to share them with you, if that's okay. So God has placed a certain level of authority on eldership. And what comes with the anointing on eldership is a wisdom and an impartation of the Spirit that far exceeds man's understanding of situations. So because of this, when the elders share their thoughts and instructions to you, no matter what the situation, I honestly believe this is from the Lord. I'm surrounded by eldership and leadership on a daily basis. Okay? I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I can promise you guys, there's no hidden agenda. There's no funny business happening. They have your best interest at heart. They really care for you. They love you. I want to encourage you guys to hear them out, to see their heart. I felt like I could share this because I'm not on eldership. I'm not defending them. They didn't ask me to say this. I just really felt like the Lord has been speaking to me about this, and that's why I've submitted a lot of my stuff to eldership. I submitted my finances to Brad and to Hilton. So this is something that I'm walking in, and I want to encourage you guys to walk in the same, because I've seen such fruit and I've seen such freedom in that. So that's why I'm just highlighting this. I would go as far as to say that if you reject what they say and you go against it, you risk. I'm not saying you are doing it. I'm saying you risk going against what the Lord is saying and what the Lord is wanting you to do. In my opinion, by doing this, you're placing your own decisions and your own desires above the will and the desires of God. So this is dangerous. I wouldn't recommend it. So stay submitted. And I believe that it is a godly principle that leads to life. I'm just going to leave it there. T. T is tell the truth. Eh? You see what I did there? Bit of alliteration, tell the truth. So I love how Jesus, the one who is without sin, sometimes goes as far as to respond to certain things by saying, I tell you the truth. When you see Jesus say the word truly or truth, I want you guys to sit up and pay attention, because I can guarantee that what he is about to say is going to be profound. So let's look at two scriptures where Jesus says this. The first one is Mark chapter 3, verse 28 to 29. He says, truly I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter. Isn't that amazing? Hey, everything that you have ever done and ever will do can be forgiven. Is that good? But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin. This is a big one. Jesus drops a bombshell here. Jesus speaks of the unforgivable sin. Ultimately, the only way that you can blaspheme the Holy Spirit is by not accepting Christ. Okay? So if you are truly saved and God has done a work in your heart, there's no way, I believe, that you will blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if you do so, I would actually question whether you are truly saved. Again, Jesus reveals an amazing truth by starting with the words, truly I say to you. One of my favorites is in John chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. It says, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Here we see Jesus teaching Nicodemus. And when asked about Jesus' sonship of God, because of the miracles he has performed, Jesus switches the focus off of himself and points to the fact that salvation is vital in the kingdom of God. He goes on to say that it means nothing if you know the law. It means nothing if you know the rules. What matters is that you have accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, thus being born of the Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit, and having relationship with them. Only then does Jesus turn the conversation back to himself, in that he is the one that you are to put your trust in. I want to encourage us all to at all times tell the truth. But tell the truth in love. All of these aspects are things that once caught, we are able to move forward to maturity. Paul speaks of this when addressing the church in Ephesus. In Ephesians 4, Paul says, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by the wind of every teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every aspect the mature body of him who is at the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Can I say that as a believer and as a person who was baptized in this pool right over here, we have a baptismal font, I was baptized there, I expect from every single one of you who witnessed that declaration to hold me accountable for my actions because of what we just read. Every one of you that witnessed that confession that I made have an obligation to tell me when I fall short of what I've been called to. But the same can be said of me when talking to you. When I witness one of you stepping out of line, the same can be said. It is a responsibility of each of us who form part of the body to tell one another when something isn't right. When you bump your toe and you cut it, it is a different system. It is a nervous system, a different part of the body. It is the nervous system that sends the message to your brain, also another part of the body, to say that something is not right. Something is different to the way that your body has been designed. In the same way, we need to keep each other accountable when one part of the body is out of line. We can turn to our brother and expect them to assist in putting measures in place to rectify the matter and to bring us back in line with the way that God has designed it to be. Sometimes this isn't easy. But I can tell you, if you bring truth, there is no need for you to feel guilty. If it so happens that you feel guilty when that person gets upset, understand that it is the Holy Spirit that convicts. There's no place for you to convict, but bring the truth in love. We were all once in sin, just as this person that you're speaking to is. We are all sinners, but bring the truth in love, showing the compassion of Jesus. Love that person in bringing the truth, showing them, by bringing the truth. That's your mission. That's your mandate. If it so happens that this person gets upset by the truth, then it is the Holy Spirit that is convicting, and you don't need to feel any guilt. And this is not something that is just the elders that need to do. This is something that we're all called to. Matthew 28:19, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't end there, guys. There's a verse 20. Check out this. It says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That is why telling the truth is vital in the body of Christ. If you see something that is out of line in another believer, and that's important, it's another believer, because we do not hold people who do not believe in Christ to a higher regard. They do not yet know Christ, so they are not empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we cannot hold them to that higher account. So that's important, the believer. However, we are called to make disciples. So teach them the way of God, the way that God designed things to be, but be gentle, be loving, and be Christ-like. What a privilege it is to be part of this royal priesthood. So let's understand what we carry, the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's stay in relationship with Christ. And furthermore, let's get intimate with Him. Share the love that you have with others. Slay your giants. And stay submitted. Choose the narrow path. And tell the truth.